front-end developer for the first time in my career.
User experience design.
I'm a back-end developer. I mainly work with Drupal.
Welcome to another episode of Behind the Screens, where we go beyond the code and into the community. I'm your host, Chris Albrecht. Let's dive in. Behind the Screens is made possible by Lullabot. Lullabot is a strategy, design, and development company where we turn great content into captivating user experiences. Find us on Twitter at Lullabot or in your browser at lullabot.com. We'd love to meet you. In this episode, I'm going behind the screens with Michael Miles, who's the Senior Technical Solutions Manager at Genuine and also podcast host for the Developing Up podcast. Hi, Michael.
Hey, how's it going, Chris?
Wonderful. So give us a little introduction and tell us how you're working with Drupal.
So I've been working with Drupal for almost a decade now. I'm about to get my, you know, decade award or whatever you get. I see some people with jackets. but what I do with Drupal is during my day job, I do a lot of Drupal architecture for large-scale Drupal projects and platforms. And then outside of that, I run the Boston Drupal Meetup, and I'm one of the organizers for the New England Drupal Camp. So I help out in those ways, and sometimes I do modules and contribute modules back, but mostly it's through camps and meetups and help running those.
So do you have your hands directly in the code, or are you more of a higher level?
I do both. I have a lot of higher level with clients come, and when we determine Genuine is a full-service digital agency, so we don't just do Drupal, but when we determine Drupal's a good fit, then I step in, take business values, business needs, and architect those into how we build them in Drupal. Then I get my hands dirty, and I have a great team of developers who they really dive into the code and build. So I don't get to code as much as I'd like to nowadays, but when I do, it's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm.
So as a senior technical solutions manager, what are some of the big challenges that you've run into recently with that role?
So some of the challenges recently, to name some specific technologies, I've been doing a lot of platforms on Acquia Site Factory, which it boils down to a big multi-site. And there's a lot of complications that come with that, from writing install profiles to really config management as being the big thing to wrestle with, and across sites and reusing config, and then abstracting problems from thinking about how am I going to build this for one site, more of how am I going to build this for X number of websites, and thinking about your problems in that perspective, that's really a challenge.
So out of the clients that you have, are you sharing any sorts of those resources or tools between sites or building stuff that will work across multiple clients?
Not much across multiple clients, but definitely when you learn how to do one thing on one client, your team pulls that to the next one, so it becomes easier. So it's great to have a client who wants to use, like the first time we had a client who wanted to build with Site Factory, we had a lot of learning on our team to do that. And the next client that came along with that, you know, we had something to start with and we knew where to go. So the thing you carry across is the knowledge, less of the code. But sometimes we can still use features. I hope Mike Potter doesn't listen to this because he's using features. But when you can use features, that can help, like for standard content types. But a lot of it's just the knowledge you get on best practices and how to apply them.
Mm-hmm. So when you stand up a new site for a client, is it sort of build, hand off, and walk away? Or do you handle any maintenance? Or do you work integrated with another client, with their team?
All three. So what I like to do the best is when we have a client and they have in-house resources who either are new to Drupal, they haven't done Drupal before, they're moving to Drupal, is bringing them into the project and training them. We had this example, to name a client, Kronos, 2 years ago, they were .NET. We brought them into Drupal. Their .NET team, we trained them as Drupalists. And now, like, they're developers here at DrupalCon and have matched, like, some of my developers in skill. And I love building up that experience and that knowledge. So that's a lot of fun. But then, yeah, some clients, they want it one and done. And then others are like, great, this is built. Help us maintain it. But the best one is when you build up the team and then you watch them grow. And you build relationships with our clients and just keep it going year after year and build more cool things with them.
Excellent. So you started out as a developer.
Yes.
So now you're in more of a leadership role. How has that transition been for you? You said you're not in the code as much as you like to be, but you seem very passionate about leading and teaching people. So tell me about that transition.
I am, yeah. So the transition is not easy. And I'm still learning how to do it. I've been in my role, the senior technical solutions manager role, for a year, but I've been a manager for 3 or 4 years now. People are a lot more complicated than code. They're not ones and zeros, so you can't treat every scenario as the same one, every person as the same thing. So that's been the real lesson, is like getting to know people, what motivates people differently, and then working with their strengths and helping them build up their weaknesses. That's one of the reasons with my podcast why I started it, Developing Up, was about learning, you know, code is one piece of your development career, and there's so much more that goes around it, from working on a team, for how to communicate. And so I wanted to learn how to get better at that, so I figured talking to other developers is a great way to do that. You know, crowdsource, open source the knowledge, and just learn from people's experience, read as many books as I can, and just not be afraid to fail and stumble, and then admit that, and then grow with my developers.
Wow, that's incredible advice. That's not a lot of people will admit that that's what they need to do, or that's what they've done. Like, admitting your failures or showing... You know, we're all human.
Yeah, it shows. I think it shows personal growth. If you can't admit a failure, you're going to hit a wall where you stagnate because you can't admit that there's a way you can get better. But if you learn to overcome that, and you know, I like to think about, especially in web development, that we're only building sandcastles. So that means, you know, every 5 years, anything you built is probably going to go away, and someone else is going to rebuild it. So you don't have to overstress about building it the best way possible, just the best with what you know at the time, and learn from that and grow from that. And you don't have to worry and sweat for the small stuff, and just make those mistakes, admit them, and learn with your team how to get over them.
I love that analogy about the sandcastles, because that really is that nobody's got a website that they're planning to build that's going to last 16, 18, 20 years.
Right. It's like 5 years at the most is right. Industry standard.
Wow. I really like that. So tell me a little more about your podcast, Developing Up.
So Developing Up, we're in season 2 at the moment. So our tagline is, because your developing career is more than the code you write. So what we talk about every episode, for season 2, I've been sitting down with other developers and talking about something that's non-technical in subjects. So the last episode was about leadership. We've done things on imposter syndrome, on how to give code reviews, how to work in an interview situation, or how to say yes, no, or I don't know. And it's really for anyone who's a junior developer, a senior developer, just the things beyond the code that you have to pay attention to. It's hard to know that coming into development. You figure, if I write good code, I'm going to like progress in my career, and that's not always true. You have to build up these other skills. So I wanted to get better at that personally, so I figured this was a great way to do it. It also helped me get better at talking to people. So that's a little more personal reasons for doing it, but I think it delivers a lot of value to a general development community out there. It's technology agnostic, and it's skills that can be transferred to anybody.
Wow, that's great. And so you said we a few times. Do you have a co-host?
Season 1, I had a co-host, my old coworker, Jake Reynes. Season 2, it's just me. I like to use we to make it seem like the podcast is a bigger thing than it is.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully one day it'll get bigger. I can imagine a whole community, but that's a whole lot of work that I don't have time for. So I use the royal we.
It's
mainly me.
Mm-hmm. So what are some things you've learned from doing the podcast? If you could pick out one or two things that have been sort of just very rewarding or kind of aha moments when you've got.
I would say the biggest rewarding thing is that everyone you talk to has a passion for what they do, but they have a passion in a different way. So people are passionate either about like the code they write or the culture they're in or the technology they use. And talking to other developers, you see that when it comes through these non-technical talks, it's just like they've latched on to one piece on what they think they need to grow in and what they're passionate about doing, whether that's being agile with like how you react to situations and using. I talked to someone the other day who has an improv background. So how they apply that to their development skills is just like you learn all these tricks that you wouldn't learn just going in it alone. And I love that opportunity.
Wow, that sounds amazing. So where would people find your podcast?
People would find my podcast at developingup.com or on Twitter at devuppodcast.
All right. I'll be definitely checking that out and adding it to my feed. That sounds really interesting.
Thank you.
So if you could give one piece of advice to somebody who's maybe they're struggling in that area about what you're talking about, the content of your podcast, they're not sure how to get their skills up, or they're sort of struggling with that passion piece of it. What's a piece of advice you might give to somebody?
My advice, especially if we're focused on the Drupal community or Drupalists, is reach out to your community. No matter what technology you work with, there's a community behind it. You found it somehow. Connect with that community. Go to local meetups. Go to conferences. network with people. That can be hard to do, but just have one conversation with someone, build a connection, and they're going to support you. You're going to find people with the same passion as you, and you're going to be able to use that knowledge and that those connections you build to make yourself better and just leverage those connections.
Mm-hmm. And all it takes is just starting with one person.
Yeah, just like, you don't have to go to a conference and be like, I'm going to meet everybody. Just like, focus on, I'm going to meet one person I've never talked to before, have one conversation. You know, set the bar low, and then, you know, your expectations are going to be met and exceeded.
Yep, I agree completely. So let's flip this a little bit.
All right.
If you were to wake up tomorrow and the internet was gone, so I guess that means no more podcasts,
because
there's no distribution method.
I could have a radio show.
Yeah, okay, there you go. You could do the same with radio. You just have to find a different topic to interview people
about.
So you could think of, what do you want to be when you grow up? What would you like to do outside of the internet?
Oh, I would say at the moment it's probably woodworking. I do a lot of woodworking and like building furniture out of my garage. I like to think I could be good at it. So at this time it would probably be woodworking. It's a different set of skills, I think for someone who's a developer, it applies the same mindset, mm-hmm. just a different way. So it's a lot of fun to do.
Yeah. Do you use any of the furniture that you make? Is it in your house?
I do. I've built built-in bookcases. I've built spice racks. I've built tables. You know, they all find a place somewhere in the house, whether my family likes it or not. So I try to build things that are useful, not just decorative, and I hope to do more of it.
Yeah, that'd be great. Excellent. And finally, there's one more I wanted to
sure.
ask you. So you're pretty well-versed in the Drupal module ecosystem. What is your spirit module?
Oh, my spirit module. I think my spirit module would probably be, that's really tough. Vue's UI, maybe? I would say that because it's a great wrapper for a lot of complex stuff that makes it simple to use, but then you turn it off when you don't need it. So it's like a networking skill. Like, you have it on when you need to come to a conference and apply a good face to things. And then when you're done with it, you turn it off.
I like it. That's a good answer. No one has ever repeated the same module yet. So
all right.
You were
wow.
close. Somebody has said Vue's before, but no one has said Vue's UI.
Very specific.
Yeah, I like that. So finally, to wrap it all up. So is there somebody you'd like to say thank you to or share some gratitude with who's helped you out along the way or give you a little nudge, an inspirational talk?
There are so many people. It would be hard to narrow it down, but I will say one would be Moshe Weissman, built Drush. That's one of the main reasons, but he used to lead up the Boston Drupal community. And when I approached him about helping out, he really gave me the nudge to kind of take the lead a little bit more. And that forced me to get better at talking with people, connecting with people in the Drupal community and building that community. So if it wasn't for Moshe giving me that chance to do that, I would definitely not be in the position where I'm at, so I really am thankful for him for that opportunity.
That's great. I had no idea. I didn't realize he was a Boston guy.
Oh, yeah, he's a Boston guy. Another reason to come to Boston. We have, like, the people.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, Michael, thank you so much. This has been really great.
Thank you, Chris. It's been great.
Hey, it's Michael Miles from the Developing Up podcast. Michael, hey, you're a Boston guy, and we know that New England Drupal Camp is coming up at the end of the year, but there's another big event happening in Boston.
Yeah, so in June, it's the 10th Design for Drupal conference from June 27th to 29th. What's interesting about Design for Drupal is two things. One, it's the only front-end focused and design-focused Drupal camp. But the other big announcement is the keynote this year is Dries. So that's really exciting. The organizers worked hard to get him to come, and I think it's a great opportunity to come to the Boston area in the summer, go to the Charles, learn some front-end stuff for Drupal.
All right, so Design for Drupal in Boston, and then we'll look forward to the New England Drupal Camp coming up later in the year. All right, keep your eye on DrupalCal, folks.